Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor Terrell continues the series entitled, Back to the Book of Acts. Pastor John briefly speaks about a chilling report released by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security this week that shows how the beast of Revelation chapter 13 has started his attack on the church. Then he moves into the sermon and shows how Paul moved back to the gospel of Jesus Christ after compromising with the traditions of Judaism. God forgave him, but the consequences cost him 3 years in prison. Nevertheless, Paul persevered because he understood there would be a time of good reaping if he didn't faint during the harsh times. In closing, Pastor John speaks about the coming persecution and how Christians will be imprisoned, tortured, and killed. However, we are not left stranded as the Holy Spirit will guide us through these turbulent times until we go home to be with Jesus. This message is entitled Part 44, Recovering from a Great Sin. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor Terrell as he begins today's message.
Let's stand and let's pray one more time. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank and praise you right now that we can meet there again on this Sunday. And Father God, I pray right now for your Holy Spirit to minister to us today as we are digging into the Word of God. And Father God, times are getting tougher. Things are getting harder. And we ask you now for your Holy Spirit to move upon us, to strengthen in us, and to give us power to overcome everything that the enemy can throw at us. And I praise you and I bless you for that right now. Thank you for liberty to preach. Thank you for liberty to listening. And Father God, we should have a total communication today with what I say, what people hear, and most of all, what the Holy Spirit is giving me. And as I ask in Jesus' name, and those who are great said, amen and amen. You may be seated. You know, I've been preaching the gospel since 1967. And I've been talking about the end times, number of times. And I thought, you know, that would be in the future. I would never have to face that. And I never thought that I would be given a unclassified for official use only from the Homeland Security, U.S. Department of Homeland Security. And this is called right-wing extremism, current economic and political climate fueling, resurgent in radicalization and recruitment. Now, this is a document that has gone out to every police department in the United States. Every sheriff's department have received a copy of this about 2 weeks ago. And there must have been some policemen, some sheriff's deputies, that were believers in Christ. They leaked this report. This is only supposed to be used for official use. So I'm going to read something to you here from, we might be able to make this available. It's available online, so you can get it online, anyone. But I'm going to read right now from the book of Revelation, chapter 13. And I'm going to begin in verse number 4. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given to him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given him, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him of all kindreds and tongues and nations. I want you to see in verse number 7, and it was given to him to make war with the saints. The war has officially started. The American government has declared war on Christianity. If you believe in that Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth and set up a reign, if you believe in there's going to be an Antichrist coming first, if you believe that there's going to be a judgment and that things will stop on this earth, congratulations, you are now declared a bona fide terrorist by the United States government. I'm going to read one paragraph to you. This is on page number 4 of this report. Economic hardship and extremism. Historically, domestic right-wing extremists have feared, predicted, and anticipated a cataclysmic economic collapse in the United States. That's true. We've talked about that for many years. It did happen. Prominent anti-government conspiracy theorists have incorporated aspects of an impending economic collapse to intensify fear and paranoia among like-minded individuals and to attract recruits during times of economic uncertainty. Conspiracy theories involving declarations of martial law, impending civil strife or racial conflict, suspension of the U.S. Constitution, and the creation of citizen detention camps often incorporate aspects of a failed economy. Anti-government conspiracy theories and end times prophecies could motivate extremists, individuals, and groups to stockpile food. David Wilkerson, watch out. Ammunition and weapons. These teachings have also been linked with radicalization of domestic extremist individuals and groups in the past, such as the violent Christian identity organizations and extremist members of the militia movement. In the report, it goes on and talks more about it. But what this is doing right now is simply this, that it is setting up the police, the sheriffs, deputies, with a mindset that we as believers in Christ are violent, extremist, we need to be dealt with harshly. And this is the beginning of the war on the saints. Now, I simply felt led to share that with you today because I believe, as we're going to look and go back to the book of Acts, that the Apostle Paul and Peter, they were facing a hostile government. And today, we are going to be facing a very hostile government. What can we do? Number one, we can pray. We can fast. But we do notice that according to the Word of God, someday this is going to increase and increase and increase. My prayer is that I'll be able to finish up my tour of duty on this planet, and get, you know, be able to go home before this takes place. That is a nice prayer. Now, you that are younger, you know, you stand a lot better chance, you know, to have to be hanging around. But let me say this to you. God has equipped us. If we have to face this, we will have the power to deal with it, to take care of it. Our Chinese brothers have suffered for years. So they did in the Soviet Union and other places. And now, suffering and persecution is coming also to America and Western Europe. Let's turn to our outlines right now. And I'm going to start with the book of Acts, chapter 21. The book of Acts and the 21st chapter, we're going to start in verse number 20. In the last part, we learned that the Apostle Paul broke away from the core doctrine that Jesus was the Messiah. This is in the last message I had on the book of Acts, which is a few months ago. We become the last sacrificial lamb and slain once and for all to pay for the sins of mankind. Paul caved into political pressure from the Jerusalem church leaders and agreed to do some temple work, including sacrifices. We're just going to review this now. That's Acts 21. We pick it up in verse number 20. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, "You see, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they all zealous of the law. And they are informed of you, that you teach all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it, therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that you are come. Do therefore this that we say to you, we have four men which have a vow on them. Them take, purify yourself with them, be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning you are nothing, but that you yourself also walk orderly and keep their law." The council now, this is not the council, but these were the apostles, James, the brother of Jesus. Notice now, James, the brother of Jesus, was a pillar at this time. And he was simply saying this: we have all these Jews from around the world that have come here to worship. And we need to be politically correct. Paul, what is this you've been preaching out there, saved by faith and grace and so on? Now, take these four men, do your things, take them to the temple, do the sacrifices, and show all the Jews that you are a good old Jew, the same as they are. This is the compromise. Why Paul did this, we find out in heaven. But he did that. He caved in to political pressure from the Jerusalem church leaders, and he agreed to do the temple work. You and I predict this, maybe in a year, 5 years, or 10 years from now, there's going to be a pressure on you to have a official view of everything. It will be officially a crime to say that homosexuality is a sin. It would be an official crime to say that abortion is a sin. It would be a crime to simply hold up the Bible, and you will be told you can be a Christian, shut your mouth, go to your church building, talk in there, but do not speak these things outside. We do not want any right-wing extremists. That day is coming. The question now is this: what are you going to do? Are you simply going to cave in and say, "Well, I don't want to have any problems. I don't want to have this and that. I don't want to lose my privileges." And you are quieted down. Or will you simply say, like Peter and John said when he said this, "We cannot but speak that which we have heard and seen"? Let's think about the political landscape in Palestine at this time. Judea, Samaria and Galilee were occupied by Rome, and his soldier had suppressed all Jewish opposition. We studied that for weeks. The Sadducees and the Pharisees were cooperating with the Roman occupation government to a degree. The Zealots were still recruiting and training for a future overthrow of the Roman occupation government. The only tangible piece of property that the Jews still had was a temple and the ground around it. Most of the Jews believed that Jesus was an imposter. When the real Messiah came, he would create a physical state of Israel and defeat the Romans and all other nations in the world. Even the Christian Jews believed the current temple would be spared when Jesus returned in a lifetime to establish a Jewish earthly kingdom with Jerusalem at its capital. That was the situation, just like we have situations in America today. Now I want to talk to you about the road to recovery. Paul did recover. And I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 6. That's Galatians. And we're going to come back here in the book of Acts. You might want to keep the finger there. It's Galatians, the 6th chapter. And you're going to pick it up in verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. When the Apostle Paul wrote the epistle to the Galatians, he had now understood that a Christian can be forgiven for sin, but the consequences might not always be lifted, and there will be some bad reaping for a while. Let me ask you this question now. You think about this. If Paul would have not gone to the temple, he would not have been arrested. If he had not compromised, he would have simply been free to continue to go. How many people would he have led to Christ during the time he spent 3 years in prison? I want you to think about that. I believe that there were thousands of people that God had earmarked for Paul to reach with the gospel. But Paul compromised. He was arrested. And he never came to those people. And I believe that when God earmarked somebody, he might not always send somebody else to do the job. There might be 50,000 people in hell today because Paul compromised. God forgave Paul. But let me ask you this now. I want you to think. Paul went to heaven. He was saved. But the people he was supposed to preach to had to go to hell, laid in a lake of fire. Is that fair? It is not fair. But that's a reality. I want you to think about yourself right now. God has earmarked you to reach a number of people with the gospel. If you do not reach them with the gospel, you are saved, you will go to heaven, but they will have to go to hell. This is why it is so important that we recognize that you and I are holding people's eternal destiny in our hands. They might not know that, but we are holding them. Somebody held your life in their hands. Somebody brought you the gospel. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody held you in their hands, and they did not fail. And this should be our prayer. My Heavenly Father, whatever mistakes I make, help me never to fail to say and speak to someone you have put in front of me that you want to be saved. If you go back and look at Galatians now, verse number 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth his flesh of the flesh reap corruption. For he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, Paul had to spend 3 years in prison. 2 years in Caesarea, 1 year in Rome before he was set free. God could have immediately set him free. But the Lord simply allowed him to suffer the consequences of his compromise. Paul wrote Galatians. He later learned, this is the way to go. This is not the way to go. In verses 9 and 10, Paul taught that if we do not faint during harsh times, there will come a time of reaping good things. And let us not be weary in well-doing, I mean our Galatians. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Notice here now, there is no reaping if you are fainting. As long as you and I are fainting, there is no reaping. We have to simply come to the place where we say now, and this is where I'm at this morning as I ask for prayer for this church. You talk about the different auto companies, you know, having problems. This church need a major bailout from the Lord. And the reason is that the Satan dried up our resources. Now, I could simply begin to wring my hands and say, you know, well, you know, I don't want to go down to the church. I don't want to open up. I don't want to face the people. But I have decided this. I'm not going to faint. I got so many bullets, and I'm going to shoot to my last bullet. Then I'm going to use my rifle or gun and simply fight with that. And if they take that away, then I will bite. And if I lose my teeth, I will gum it. And at that time, I think the fight is over. Think about this now. Many of you are facing problems. And you have fainted and you are waiting for God to answer. But as long as you have fainted, the answer is not there. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. Back to the outline there. It was not God's will for Paul to be killed by the mob. And God set in motion his rescue plan. However, God would not immediately set Paul free because there were still lessons to be learned. Back now to Acts 21. If you really want to get out of the jam, ask God this. My Heavenly Father, what is the lesson to learn? Help me to learn it fast. The sooner you learn your lesson, the faster you get out of the jam. If you simply sit there and stew and complain, you will stay in that lesson for a long time. Acts chapter 21, verse number 31. And you read this. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. who immediately took soldiers and centurions, ran down unto them, and when he saw the chief captain and soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Notice now, Paul was being beat up. When we sin, when we make a mess, Satan will come and there will be a beating. Then the chief captain came near and took him, commanded him to be bound with two chains, and demanded who he was and what had he done. And some cried one thing, some another, among the multitude, and when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded to be carried into the castle. And when he came into the stairs, so it was that he was borne on the soldiers for the violence of the people. You talk about a violent confrontation. The soldiers had to carry him on their shoulders to get him out of the crowd. For the multitude of the people followed after crying, away with him. In other words, death to him. And as Paul was led into the castle, he said to the chief captain, may I speak unto you? Who said, can you speak Greek? He thought it was a Jewish thug. Now, Paul was always true to his calling. And he wanted to tell the crowd about Jesus as the Messiah. The strongest message a Christian has is his personal testimony. And Paul gave his testimony to the crowd under the protection of Roman soldiers. Let's read now from the book of Acts, chapter 21, and we pick it up in verse number 38. Are not you the Egyptian, which before these days made an uproar, and led us out in the wilderness for 4,000 men that were murderers? Paul said, I'm a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, a city of no mean city, and I beseech you, suffer me to speak unto the people. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs, beckoning his hand to the people, and when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue. Men, brethren and fathers, hear you my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in a Hebrew tongue to them, they kept more silence, and he said, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up into this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as you all are this day. And I'm persecuted this way unto the death. If you want to make a mark in your Bible, this way was a term for Christians. And I persecuted the Christians unto death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women, as also the high priest does bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. Paul used to be the chief persecutor from the high priest in Jerusalem. The high priest knew him. The zealots knew him. He was well known. And they considered him a traitor. And it came to pass that as I made my journey was come nigh to Damascus about noon. Suddenly there showed from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute. And then they were with me, saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise and go to Damascus, and there shall be told you of all things which are appointed for you to do. And when they could not see for the glory and the light of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And the same hour I looked up unto him. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen you, that you should know his will, and see that just one and should hear the voice of his mouth. For you shall be his witness unto all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And I saw him saying to me, make haste, and get you quickly out to Jerusalem, for they would not receive your testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue, damn that believed on you. When the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew me. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send you far hence unto the Gentiles. When Paul spoke this, the crowd exploded. The Jews responded in fierce anger when Paul told them that God had commissioned him to go to the Gentiles. According to Jewish teaching, Gentiles were not human beings, but beasts. And did Paul, a Jew himself, dare to speak to the dogs about a Jewish Messiah? Let me read verses 21 through 23 here. And he said unto them, depart, for I will send you far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word. And then lifted their voice and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit that he should live. The Talmudic Jews, the Kabbalistic Jews, still believe today, teach today, that Gentiles are animals. As I shared with you in my last newsletter about the election charade from the election of Obama, you noticed in there that there are American Jews in every department in our federal government. They have prominent positions. Our president is David Axelrod. His prime minister is Rahm Emanuel. Two powerful American Jews that are simply have Israel first as their goal. They're tolerating us right now. There's a shared report with you. Their tolerance is getting thinner. Paul simply said, I'm going to go to the Gentiles. Someday, you will be in the court. Your crime, being a born-again Christian. You will be brought up and told that you are an enemy of the state. And they would simply say, how do you plead? Are you going to say then, not guilty? Are you going to simply say this, read the charges? And they would talk about you being born again, that you believe in a second return of Christ. You believe abortion is a sin, homosexuality is a sin. Would you dare that to say, Your Honor, that's me. Yes, I am totally guilty on all counts. Or will you be a coward and says, well, now let's talk about this? We're coming down to that point. There are hundreds of thousands of Christians in China that are sitting in camps today because they would not renounce their Christian faith. But because of their faith and their martyrdom, going to prison, some are being killed, Christianity is growing leaps and bounds in China. Now, I'm not looking forward to be a martyr. I really didn't plan when I came down to do a tour on this planet to be a martyr. I wanted a good life. I preached the gospel. I might have a little less money and so on, but I've had a good life. But you know what? If it come down to this, we got to prepare ourselves now, our mindset, that we might have to go through this. I shared with you now a couple of weeks. Every time I eat the meal today, every time I thank God because I think someday I might not have anything to eat. Every day when I go to bed, I thank God for my bed because there might be a day that I will not have a bed to sleep in. I thank God every day I'm free because there might be a day that I'm shackled and locked up someplace. We need to be thanking God right now for what we have and not complaining. And be praising Him. Now, the Roman officer in charge realized that Paul was antagonizing the Jews and wanted to know why this was happening. As a result, he ordered Paul to be interrogated under torture. Verse 24. Then the chief captain commanded to be brought into the castle and bade or ordered that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. The way they interrogated, they tied him up against a post, stripped him of his clothing, and started beating him and asking questions. Paul used his Roman citizenship to protect himself. Verse 25 through 29. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, "Take heed what you do, for this man is a Roman." Then the chief captain came and said to him, "Tell me, are you a Roman?" He said, "Yes." And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtained at his freedom." And Paul said, "But I was free born." Then straightway they departed from him which have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. Paul used his Roman citizenship. What you and I have to do now is we have to be simply smart. We got to outsmart the enemy. We got to use whatever rights, legal rights we have. But we might have eventually we run out of legal rights as they will take them away from us. But right now, we have legal rights. And we need to use them and push them on these people that are trying to do unlawful things. Paul faced the same council that condemned Jesus. Look now in verse number 30. And on the morrow, because he would have known the certain word, for he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands, commanded the chief priests and all the council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them. Now, here's what happened now. Paul simply now had this situation. He met now the high priest and the council that had condemned Jesus. It was also the same council that commissioned him to go and prosecute Christians. This is what he was facing. The top leadership of the Jews at that time were forced to hear about Jesus as the Messiah one more time. and rejected the truth once again. Acts 23, 1 through 5. And Paul earnestly beholding the council said, Men and brethren, I've lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. And the high priest, Ananias, commanded, stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul to him, God shall smite you, you white wall. For why do you sit there and judge me after the law and command me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, Revilest you the high priest, God's high priest. Then said Paul, I did not know, brother, he was a high priest. It is written, You shall not speak evil of the ruler of your people. Paul was a cunning political speaker. And when he realized he was facing a group of Sadducees and Pharisees, he used their difference in doctrine to divide them, to begin to attack one another. Verses 6 through 9. When Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out to the council, Men and brethren, I'm a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. The hope and resurrection of the dead I am called in question. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisee part arose, and strove, saying, We find no evil in this man. But if the spirit of an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. Now, once again, Paul had to be rescued by the Romans. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should be pulled in pieces of them, commanded his soldier to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. Now remember this. Someday, you might be in a court situation. And it's just you, no one else except you and Jesus. Remember this. No one can take your life unless God gives permission. No one can touch a hair on you unless God gives permission. The worst that anyone can do against us is to send us early to heaven. If they threaten you and says, well, we're going to have you executed. You know what that means? To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. You just tell them this, fine. Go ahead, let's get it over with. Because the moment your body drops, there are angels there to pick you up, and you're going to be with Jesus. Now, some of you might have fear and say, well, what about if they torture me first? There's no guarantee that we might not be tortured. I cannot stand here and say, you know, well, if that day comes, you know, you will not have any pain and you will not feel this or that, you know. I'd be lying if I told you that. This is a risk we have to take as believers. This is something we have to understand. That sometimes we have to suffer for Christ. And if the day comes, all we can do is to say, Dear God, give me strength to get through it. Because we know this, it was just for a few short time. Because once we pass into the next life, we will live forever and ever and ever and ever in the presence with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And we will not even remember the pain anymore. Now, every one of us had been to the dentist. Every one of us had had hours in a dental chair. And you had that drill, like this. And you know, you took it because you knew that you had to get rid of the pain. You had to have pain, take away the pain. But today, with your teeth fixed, no pain, nothing. How many of you think back to that moment you were in a dental chair? It's forgotten. It's over with. It's done. Our mindset has to be set. We have to simply realize, we might have this, we might have that, so be it. God will see us through. He will. Let's read now the promise from God. And before we read that, let me take it to Mark chapter 16. That's the book of Mark, the 16th chapter. Some people says, well, you know, I have really sinned so badly, I don't see any hope for me. The apostle Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And Jesus sent word to Peter, he was risen, had forgiven Peter. You know the story. Let me just hammer this in right now. In Gethsemane, Peter stands up and says, Jesus, if all these guys are flaking on you, count on me. I'll be with them. I'll be with you. Jesus said, before the cock crows, you would deny me 3 times. Peter said, no, not me, Lord. These flakes over here, but not me. Then, as Peter was pressured, he began to curse and swear and say, I don't know this man. 3 times. Jesus looked at him from where he was imprisoned. Peter saw him, the cock crowed, and Peter went out crying. I'm sure the devil told Peter, you blew it. If he's resurrected, you are out. You denied him 3 times. But look at Mark 16, verses 1 through 7. What did Jesus say? He simply said this, go and tell Peter, I'm risen. And when the Sabbath passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre, the grave, at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entered the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were frightened. And he said to them, be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen, he's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him, as he said unto you. If you have messed up, God will forgive. As long as there's breath in our life, God will forgive. Let me hammer this home again. There's only one sin that God will not forgive. And that is if you take the mark of the beast. You take the mark of the beast, you're toast for eternity. But if you commit other sins, you ask God for forgiveness, you will be forgiven. No more guilt. No more condemnation. In Acts 23:11, Jesus, I read my outline there. Jesus did not send an angel to strengthen Paul, but appeared himself and confirmed that to Paul that his calling still was valid. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you testified on me in Jerusalem, so must you bear witness also at Rome. Jesus himself came and said, Paul, you must testify in Rome I am with you. He didn't send an angel because he knew at this time that Paul was crushed over his compromise. And the Holy Spirit will come to you and me when we have a need and show us that we are forgiven. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And this is for you and me. 1 John 1, 4 through 10. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is a message we've heard of him and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You might be in a courtroom. You might be scared. You might simply say, well, you know, I really don't believe that. I don't believe that, and so on. And they let you off. And you walk out of that courtroom knowing that you lied. You still can be forgiven. If you simply say, my Heavenly Father, I made a big mistake. I want to repent. And I'm going to go back in and tell them that I lied. I love Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior. And I want to be in prison for him than to be free walking with the devil. Now turn to Acts 23, 20, 12 through 15. Acts 23, verses 12 through 15. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together. These were zealots. And bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 who had made this conspiracy. Let me bring you up to speed. About 10 years ago, my timing can be off here. We had a Israeli Prime Minister Rabin, Yitzhak Rabin. And Rabin realized that they could not win by just killing Palestinians. And he simply was ready to talk, compromise, work something out where they could share the cake. Rabin was then sentenced to death by zealots. And they selected a man that would do the killing. Matter of fact, I don't have time to really detail is right now, but if you go back and look to his assassination, you'll find it. So the chief rabbis in Israel pronounced a curse upon Rabin, a death curse, 25 days before he was killed. And when they do that, it's from the Kabbalah, they send demonic forces out. Any Jew gets scared to death when I hear that. And then one day Rabin was going to speak in Jerusalem, or Tel Aviv, I can't remember where he was. The security knew they had a killer there. And just like with J.F. Kennedy, the security pulled back, let the killer come in, and shot him and killed him right there. His crime, he had compromised. The Jews said, we don't want him any longer. He's giving away our rights. Kill him. Same people that did that The same descendants are doing this. Listen to this now. And when it was day, certain of the Jews band together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. People like that still exist today. And they're going to do a lot of assassinations in the future. Now therefore you, with the council, signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though you would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him. You talk about a conspiracy. This is a conspiracy. The Bible tells it many times. The world government tells us there is no conspiracy. If you believe in conspiracy, you are a terrorist. Isn't it amazing the propaganda that is being shot out right now? We had two, one Korean American, one Chinese Korean. These were ladies, and they were journalists. And they were in China, close to the border of North Korea, and interviewing people. And the North Koreans went over the border, grabbed them, brought them in, trumped up charges. They were spying on North Korea. They're still in prison up there. We have no representation. We don't know what will happen to them. In Iran, this week, an American-Iranian young lady, about 31 years old, was sentenced to prison for being a spy. And they just put her away. Now, this conspiracy said, bring this Paul down under the pretense we want to talk to him, and we will kill him. How many of you, some of you might be too young, but some of you not too young. How many of you remember the Kennedy assassination when that happened? We saw it, you know, afterwards many, many times. Now we had a killer, Oswald. And you remember, you know, how they had took him. Do you know how many days he lived after the assassination? If I remember right, 4 days. And 4 days later, in a tunnel underneath the jail, going to the courthouse, under the guard of at least 5 sheriff deputies, this bartender, bar owner, came in, walked in there, and shot Oswald in the stomach and killed him instantly so he could not talk anymore and tell really what happened. Ruby, if you remember that. And you know, Ruby didn't live too long after that. I believe that Ruby died about 6 months later. He got cancer. How convenient. One guy killed. The assassination of the first one got killed. No one talks. You got to understand that the world government is ruthless. It has been, it is, and it will be. God didn't use the supernatural means to save Paul from this new threat. But he used his nephew to hear the plot and report it. And you find this in verses 16 through 21. Paul's sister's son, his nephew, heard it, went to the captain, told him about it, and said there is a conspiracy to kill Paul. I believe that you and I will receive information, maybe not supernaturally, but we will receive information from other people that God will use to save our lives and to show us what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. Let's look up Paul is saved for the zealots. The Romans have, through the time of occupation of Jerusalem, Judea, learned that the most feared fighters among the Jews were the Zealots, and that when they decided to do something, it was hard to stop them. Therefore, the chief captain decided that Paul should be moved out to Jerusalem with a large military guard. Let's read verses 22 through 24. So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, "See, you tell no man that you have showed these things to me." And he called to him two centurions, saying, "Make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, horsemen 70, that's 70 men on horses, spearmen 200, that is 470 soldiers, to deal with 40 Zealots." That's a serious. He took it. And Paul was sent off. A letter was written to Felix, the Roman governor of the region, and Paul was sent to the city of Caesarea, the Roman provincial capital located on the coast of the Mediterranean. If you read verses 25 through 23, and he wrote a letter to this manner, "Claudius Lysias, unto the most excellent governor Felix, sends greetings. This man was taken out of Jews, should have been killed of them, then came out with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. And when I would have known the cause wherefore they accused, they brought him forth into their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds," that means to be in prison. "And when he was told me how that the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straightway to you, and gave commandment to his accuser all to say before you, that they had against him. Farewell." Then the soldiers, as he was commanded, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. On the morrow I left the horsemen to go with him and returned to the castle, who, when they came to Caesarea, delivered the epistle of the governor, presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked what province he was. And when he understood he was from Cilicia, he said, "I will hear you," said he, "would your accuser also come?" And he commanded to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. What can we learn of this message? What can we learn from what Paul went through? Let's start in Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And we read from verse number 6. This is for you and me today. "Seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." When you and I got saved, we turned from our wicked ways. When we got saved, we turned from our wicked ways. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain come down and the snow from heaven, and return not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." God said, "I sent my word out. My word will prosper." You speak the word of God, it will prosper through you and in you. Guaranteed. God's word will prosper. When you accuse, when something happens, simply say, quote, begin to quote Bible verses. It's a good time to try to learn a few Bible verses by heart now. Because when you are in a courtroom, you will not have the Bible there. You will not be allowed to have a Bible. Whatever you remember from the Word of God is what you have in your head. It might not be bad to try to learn one verse a day from the Bible and begin to memorize the Word of God. Look here what God said too. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills break forth before you to singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Let me say this to you that are here today in the congregation, and to you that are listening or viewing us. Someday, I believe that day is coming. Bible says so. You will lose all your property. You will lose all your savings. You will lose your car. You will lose everything. And you're going to be simply walking away because the mark of the beast is here and you're not part of it. Wouldn't that be horrible? If you have in your bank account, let's say you have $1 million in your bank account, and the mark of the beast is coming down, and you don't take the mark of the beast, and they simply take away the money. And now you're thinking as you're walking down the road, I just gave the Antichrist $1 million. He took my money. They're going to use that. You could kick yourself. Here's what I believe we should do. I'm not saying liquidate everything, but I'm saying this. Start investing in the kingdom of God while you have it. Because the day is going to come when you don't have it. And someone else is going to take your money, your possessions. This is a time we are still free. This is a time we can still preach. This is a time we can do things. But like Jesus said, the night comes when no one can work. Part number two. Turn to Psalms 103. Psalm 103. You know, I told my nephew, my brother, one of the two. I said, if I go to be with the Lord, my wife and I, before they do, you know what I'm going to leave them? I'm going to leave them a pile of debt. We got some property, but we have mortgage on it because we refinanced. The refinance took money out to finance the ministry. I'm happy with that. Now, what they would inherit from us is they would have the great opportunity to pay mortgage every month. And this is really the position you want to be in. Because I tell you this, I've seen too many people die that are walking with God, and they have relatives that are ungodly, and they simply come in and they say, whoopee, let's go and gamble, let's go here, let's do there. And all the stuff that you gathered up and you worked so hard for is spent on the devil in no time at all. Have to be smart. Psalm 103. And here's what we have to do. We are to bless the Lord at all times, regardless of circumstances. Bless the Lord of my soul and all that within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord of my soul and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. If we are daily blessing the Lord, praising him, thanking him. Thank you, Father God, I had a hot dog for dinner today. Thank you, Father God, for this little orange that you just gave me. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for that. There will be a different power in our lives. Instead of complaining. How many people are cursing when they come up and there's a red light? And you got to nail it. Oh, man! begin to praise the Lord. Because it might be a car further down that the devil had planned to have to hit you and get you out of commission. It might be a driver driving slow in front of you. And you're just impatient. You can't pass him. You're sitting there and cursing him. There might be an angel of God driving there, holding you back from an accident further down the road. Bless the Lord of my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord of my soul, and forget that all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. You are here today because you have health. How many times have God healed you up to this day? Many times, right? Are you thanking him for it? Are you thanking God for your colon this morning? Are you thanking God for your kidneys, your heart? Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He has made known his ways unto Moses, acting the children of Israel. The Lord is what? Merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Shouldn't we praise him for that? He will not overchide, neither will keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as the father pities the children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. Point one, God is merciful and wants to forgive us. Number two, we are to bless the Lord at all times. And then turn to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you pick it up in verse, let me get there, 2 Timothy 4, verse number 6. Can you say this? This is what you really want to read and say. Now, can I say this? If I'm going to go today, can I say this? If I'm not ready to be offered, the time of departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Have you done that? Can you say I fought the good fight? I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them that also love his appearing. We should live every day in such a way that if we are to go today, you might drive away from the church. And someone might hit you, this might be your day to depart. You might have a heart attack. Who knows? We never know when we're going to go. Can you say right now, I'm ready to go. I fought the good fight. I have laid up a crown of righteousness. I've finished my course. Personally, I'm not finished. But, you know, if time comes to go, there's going to come a cutoff date. I'm always going to have more work to do. But there will come a cutoff date. And we want to be ready. Paul had sinned greatly. When he repented and turned from his sins, there was forgiveness and restoration of his position as an apostle. And then point number four, would you find in Hebrews 13:8. You're close to that. So Hebrews just got one book. Hebrews 13:8. It's a wonderful verse. And we read it. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is not a respecter of persons. Turn out to the book of Acts, chapter 10. That's Acts 10:34. Acts 10, and we look at verse number 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons." Get this into your heart right now. What God will do for me, He will do for you. What God does for you, He will do for me. God is not a respecter of persons. The same power is available to all of us. The same benefits, the same love. And then point number 5. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of God. Back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. So many of us, will become creeping. We don't have to. We ask God for forgiveness. We can come boldly. Hebrews 10:16. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts. In their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquity will I remember no more." I heard one amen. That's the second one. Now, think about this. I want you to think about this. You're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. And you come up there and you get given a white robe. And you're told not guilty because of the blood of Jesus. You're going to say, "Okay, what's next?" Let me read that again. You understand what that means? 10:16. "This is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts." We have that. "In our minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Now that's better. The congregation woke up here now, for you that are watching us. They were kind of sleeping here, and it was coming down the home stretch. They thought, you know, he's done pretty fast, you know. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Praise God. Some of you said, "I don't know about that." "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by new and living way which he has consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." Look in verse number 22. "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." This is how we have the victory. You have been saved. You ask God for forgiveness. You clean up your life. You are washed in the blood. You come with boldness. And you say, "Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. I love you." And then begin to bring your petitions. Don't walk around like, you know, they're going to hang you. Walk around like you're going to be praising God and you have the victory. You might have ailments in your body. You might have some pain. You might have money problems. There might be, who knows what we got. We got a lot of problems, all of us. But remember this. They are temporary. Just now, overcome it. Make a decision. I'm going to be an overcomer. 3 weeks ago, I had to make a decision. For 10 years, I've had terrible problems with hay fever, particularly the time of April and or February, April. And you know, I'm down. I used to have that, but I threw it away. I used to have what they call contact, 12 hours, 24 hours. And you know, I would pray at home. I said, "God, get me through the service. Don't let me sneeze and stuff like this." And God said, "I will take it through." But you know what I did? Just in case, God did not come through. I had in my briefcase some contacts, and I had a glass of water. And I simply said, you know, if it doesn't work, you know, I just pop one of those, you know, and in about a minute, you know, I'm okay. I carried that for 3 years or more. And I never used them once. And then finally God said, are you done with that stuff? I said, yeah, Lord, I'm done with that. I'm going to go and fly without the stuff. God has to teach faith. Now, I got hit about a month ago, 3-4 weeks ago, and I had a couple of lousy days. And the devil said, you know, you are going to have a horrible season this year. And I decided, I was reading some stuff and so on, and I said, no, I'm not going to have that. I know what my problem is. It's my emotions. My emotions take down my immune system, and that makes me weak. You must say, well, I'm a tough guy. You know, I don't have any problem like this. Listen, if you've been under stress for a long time, we got emotions. They might be hidden. You don't know about it. We'll be at a little prayer meeting. You know what? I'm doing just fine. I was only down for about 4 or 5 days. And then I got up. Why? Because I made a decision up here with an attitude. I don't have to have this. I don't have to take this. I'm going to have to put up with this. And I'm going to talk to my body to line up. If it is sleep, problems, sickness, whatever it is, tell your body to line up. Take dominion. Instead of having somebody take a dominion over you. Let me read this verse one more time and I'll be done. Verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You got to understand now that I've had people tell me over the years, have faith, Brother John, just have some faith. Didn't do anything for me. I had to experience a problem. I had to dig in a word, and I had to apply it myself. I had to go and simply say, I'm going to work this through, not because so-and-so had victory, this guy had victory. I'm going to have my victory. I'm going to dig it out. Where do you dig it out? On your knees, with the Bible in front of you, and you simply say in the name of Jesus, we ain't leaving this place until I have victory. Jacob wrestled a whole night with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the morning, Jesus said, let me go. He said, I will not let you go until you bless me. It's up to you and me. News are bleak. Things are not coming along good. But you know what? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now. And Lord, you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I don't care what the Department of Homeland Security says. I don't care what the politicians say. We care what God said. God is our King. We have no other King than King Jesus. And Father, I pray today that you will make us bold. Make us bold in our daily living. Help each one of us, Father God, to come to grips with ourselves. To find out who we are. And then to learn to stand and begin to proclaim victory. We love you, Lord. And I pray right now for those that are sick. There's some that are sick, Lord. Some have not as much faith. And I'm not condemning them. But Father God, I'm praying right now around the world. Whenever this is viewed, if it's viewed right now or later, people hear, Father. I pray, Holy Spirit, minister to them right now. Let your power fall upon them. and give them hope and strength and power, that they shall be able to be living victorious. And if someone is not saved, if you're not saved, all you have to do is to say, "My Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me my sins. I believe that Jesus, the Son of God, He died on the cross, rose on the third day. And right now, my Heavenly Father, forgive me. I accept Christ as my Savior. Come on in, Jesus, and save me." And He will. Thank you, Father God, for touching your people right now. As I pull away, and it's the them and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are watching us right now, the singers are going to come and sing. And you might say, "Well, what can I do? I live in another country," whatever it is. We have a phone line open right now. Just call that number, and someone will talk with you and minister to you. You that are here in the church, the elders are here. We got plenty of oil. Come and be prayed for. If you just want to get over and pray for yourself, come on here, John. On the right, your left, there's a prayer plate. You got to kneel there, sit there. No one will talk to you. But whatever you do, respond to the Lord today as He's called you.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the 44th part in the series Back to the Book of Acts and was entitled Recovering from a Great Sin. Paul moved back to the gospel of Jesus Christ after compromising with the traditions of Judaism. God forgave him, but the consequences cost him 3 years in prison. Nevertheless, Paul persevered because he understood there would be a time of good reaping if he didn't faint during the harsh times. In closing the message, Pastor John spoke about the coming persecution and how Christians will be imprisoned, tortured, and killed. However, we are not left stranded as the Holy Spirit will guide us through these turbulent times until we go home to be with Jesus. This sermon will help you to get ready for a period known as the Great Tribulation. It is not a question of if, but when it will come. Are you ready? This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1182. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 1-888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today. And until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.